Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The second reading is from Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
And a reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I think I might borrow Ian's candle. Thank you, Ian. Christmas is a wonderful time, isn't it? I love it. I love it that families get together. And I know a lot of you here are visitors. You're visiting family, or family have come to visit you. I love it that they get together, they share stories, they wear silly hats, we all do. We play board games, don't we, and we tell silly jokes. I left my cracker behind, but I think I can remember one of the jokes. Why is Cinderella no good at football? Any ideas? Because her coach was a pumpkin. Another thing I love about Christmas in England, because I come from Zimbabwe, where it would have been nice and bright and light quite long into the evening. I love the transformation of houses and the church too, with candles, with lights, with Christmas trees, with decorations. People go to so much trouble to make their houses into a place that's really special to celebrate. And actually last week, it was a great week We went all over the village doing different things. So at the beginning of the week, we had carols in the pub. That was real fun. Then later on, the school, that's right. I went to the school and they had an assembly at the end of term. And the children were absolutely fantastic. Joined in with that and really celebrated. Christmas carols and children doing readings. A little later on, we went round the village and actually the scouts with their float. I don't know if you're in the village, but when the scouts come along with their float, everybody knows about it. I don't think they were singing carols. I think the float was singing carols, collecting money for charity. This is all about what the community does over Christmas. But this service, there's something special about this service. And I think it's because a lot of the mad preparation of Christmas is over. We come here because we come here to connect with God. We come here because Christmas is all about the mystery of Jesus Christ coming into the world made flesh. It's full of mystery and paradox. The Almighty God of heaven, the transcendent God, the God who is there before all things began, the one who called everything into being, the one who sustains all things, he chose to lay aside his majesty and become human, become like us. What's more, he chose to become human in a very humble way. He became a baby, dependent on other people, born to a teenage girl in a makeshift, you couldn't even call it a labor ward, which was smelly and dirty. Our reading in Isaiah, did you know that was written 740 years before Jesus Christ was born? Isaiah was prophesying the birth and naming of Jesus Christ. He called him four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of course, those names we recognize through so many different carols and also through other parts of Scripture. Isaiah, again, in chapter 7, verse 14, more prophetic detail. It says here, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son and will name him Emmanuel. And then in Matthew 7, which is New Testament, looks back to that prophecy written 740 years ago and says, now all this has happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. A mystery, a paradox. I've been struck this Christmas by a simple but powerful truth, and that's that the Christmas story is full of very unlikely characters. People on the edges of society who find themselves suddenly at the center of the action. Those on the outside finding themselves on the inside. And actually, I think Jesus himself was the first one, because unlikely though it was, he came from outside, didn't he? From that heaven, we call it heaven. Almighty God, to be born this helpless baby. The Word became flesh, says John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word lived amongst us, the Word being Jesus, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Outside, and then in. And who is God's unlikely choice of a mother? Was it a queen? Was it a celebrity, maybe? No. A teenage Jewish girl living in an occupied country, betrothed to be married. And Mary, as a pregnant, unmarried teenage girl, would have been rejected and marginalized by society. yet God chose her. Now, 2,000 years later, we celebrate her and we recognize her as the mother of Jesus. In fact, the Magnificat in the Bible is her very own song. She was welcomed into the story. She was brought from the outside in. What about Joseph? He was a pretty unlikely person as well to be part of the story. Joseph was a bit embarrassed about the whole pregnancy thing, and he was going to put Mary quietly away, not make a big spectacle of the whole thing, because he knew it wasn't his child, but he was going to divorce her quietly. Until God spoke to him through an angel in a dream, telling him, "You, son of David, take Mary as your wife and call the child that is to be born of her Jesus, which means Savior." Suddenly, Joseph, the unknown Joseph, probably also himself a teenager, was welcomed into the story, outside to inside. What about Bethlehem? The tiny nowhere town. Nobody would have heard of it if it weren't for the fact that Jesus was born there. People flood there now. This little town was welcomed into the story from outside in. How about the shepherds? Shepherds didn't have a very high esteem in those days. Maybe they don't now as well, but I think they do. The shepherds were probably hired hands. They were probably on minimum wages, if any at all. They were on night duty. And suddenly, one angel appears. And then a whole host of angels appear, singing glory to God in the highest. Those shepherds became the first visitors to the newborn king. They were welcomed into the story from outside in. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, well, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, yes, that's fine, but what about the kings? They weren't exactly marginalized. They sort of spoil the outside-in theme, don't they? They were educated. They were rich. They were wise. They probably had many investments. Don't think the FTSE 100 existed then, but in other places. Did they come from outside into the story? Well, actually they did. And that's because they were foreigners. They weren't Jews. They weren't Romans. They probably didn't even worship Jehovah, who is the God of the Jews. They certainly didn't worship in a synagogue. And there weren't any churches then. And even their spirituality was a bit questionable. It doesn't talk about them reading the Bible, but it does talk about them following stars, reading the stars, astronomers. Nevertheless, they found the way to Jesus, and they were welcomed into the story, outside to inside. I wonder, do you feel outside in some way today? Not quite accepted, perhaps, by the in-laws, maybe not quite financially stable. Perhaps educationally, you feel like people think you should have been more successful. Maybe you're not happy with the way you look or how fit you are. Maybe you're living on your own. Maybe you're lonely. Perhaps you're suffering in some way, physically, or maybe even with poor mental health. Maybe there's something that makes you feel not quite good enough and outside, apart from the family and society, and far from God. Those words from Titus, which Annie read today, they're for you. They say, when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Saviour, appeared. He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his great mercy. You see, God loves us. He doesn't want us to be outside. He wants us to be part of the story. And if you're an outsider, well, join the club of unlikely outsiders. God welcomes you into his story. You see, the end of this outside-in story and the end of Christmas story is also a beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning of another story, our story. And I'm going to finish by reading the end of this little booklet called Outside In. And you're very welcome to take a copy if you want as you're going out. And it says this: Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, and their shocked flock of sheep. None of them are obvious choices to witness God coming to earth. But with God, there are no outsiders. Everyone is invited in. So welcome into the story. I'd like to finish with a very short prayer. It's the prayer of Emmanuel. Let's pray. O Emmanuel, God among us, beside us, within us, come into our communities, our homes, our lives. Come quickly and stay. Amen.